welcome or welcomed back to Sex, Scandals, and Shenanigans. My name is Adrian, and I'll be your host. In this show, I discuss history's most notorious mistresses and lovers. This week, we're venturing into England, particularly Anglo-Saxon England, during the reign of Edwig or Edwy. I'll probably call him Edwig just because it reminds me of an earwig, so you're welcome. I want to give a huge shout out to the Rex Factor podcast and the members of the Rex Factor Discord. Y'all are fantastic and have been a great support for me and this show. Edwig's episode is dedicated to you. As Edwig is not a mistress, I won't go into the definitions or contextual definitions as they really don't apply. So let's get into Edward's background and family tree, because why not fuck up early English names? Before going into his background, we need to create the family tree since Alfred the Great. Again, this is going to be very condensed. Here we go. Alfred the Great married Elswith, and he reigned from 871 to 886. After him was Edward the Elder, who married Ethelred, and he reigned from 899 to 924. Their son, Elfward. It is disputed, but his reign went from the 17th of July to the 2nd of August, so not even quite a month, and that was in 924. Then you also had his marriage to Egwene, who produced Æthelstan, and he reigned from 924 to 927, and he was married to Egdifu, and from their marriage out came Edward I, who married Elgifu, and he reigned from 939 to 946. Edmund's brother Edred reigned from 946 to 955. Edred was elected king until the boys could reach some sort of majority age, probably, again, 14, 15 years old. At the time, Edwig was about 6, Edgar was about 2. So, again, we have Edwig, who was born in 940 and reigned from 955 to 959. And Edgar, who's also becoming to the world as Edgar the Peaceable, reigned from 959 to 975. So there you go. There's a condensed family tree from Alfred the Great to Edgar the Peaceable. Now that we're all caught up with the family tree, let's continue. Edred died in his early 30s and was known to be prone to ill health. Also, probably in due course to his ill health, Edred never married nor sired any legitimate issue. Thereby, the English crown was going back to Edmund's son, notably Edwig, as he was the elder of the two. And Edred reigned from 946 to 955. In 955, after drawing his last breath and then finally kicking the royal bucket, Edwig became king at 14 or 15 years old. Again, we say he was born, well, we being historians say that he was born in 940. Again, date is not certain, so we're guesstimating about 15 years old. You know what teens have during those years? Hormones. They have hormones and probably bad acne. Again, he was 14, 15 fucking years old and being declared king. Yay for the majority age at that time. Remember what I said about teenagers? They're full of hormones. This will be an important factor in a bit. What was the opposite of Edwig at this point in time? The Abbot of Glastonbury, Dunstan. Our old friend Dunstan from Rex Factor. Dunstan, born 909 and died in 988, was a Benedictine monk, abbot of Glastonbury, and future Archbishop of Canterbury. He's a very important figure in the pre-1000 English politics. Unlike a randy teenager, Dunstan has been noted by contemporary sources as a leader and a political asset to the English crown. Guess who didn't get along with the paragon of Christian virtue? Yep, Edwig. On the 23rd of November, 955, Edward was crowned as King of England. Remember, this little royal shit was about 15 years old. Per the tales associated with Edwig, Edwig decided to celebrate like any young person or teenager would, not around crusty old previous advisors. Edwig decided to scurry off with his noble bird of paradise, Elgifu, later to be his wife, and his soon-to-be mother-in-law, Ethelgifu. Remember how I said I'd fuck up these English names? I'm not disappointing. It has been reported by the author B, who may have been Birthforth of Ramsay, who was a contemporary and well-known chronicler and biographer of ecclesiastical leaders, as well as a historian during the 10th century in England. He was also a contemporary of the Odo or Oda, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury during the early reign of Edwig, as well as Dunstan, who again was the abbot at Glastonbury, as well as the Bishop of Worcester, and then also became a future Archbishop of Canterbury. And since we know he wrote ecclesiastical biographies, we can kind of make the presumption or even the assumption that B was not a fan of Edwig and lent his support to bolster the career of Dunstan and Odo. But let's back up a bit. Let's get back to the coronation. Odo, the Archbishop of Canterbury, noticed that Edwig and two women decided to leave the party or the coronation festivities a little early and away from everybody else. So he asked Dunstan and the Bishop of Lichfield to go look for them. And they found them in a different room with his girlfriend or Bird of Paradise Elgifu and her mother Ethelgifu. That wasn't necessarily a normal thing to find because they found the three, Edwig, Ethelgifu, and Elgifu, having sex. Apparently, while getting to know Elgifu and Ethelgifu intimately, Dunstan and the Bishop of Lichfield crashed their private party. No one in the situation was thrilled, particularly not Edwig. Shall we discuss why each person may have been upset? Fuck it, why not? Edwig, he was getting laid. As a young man, about 15 again, I'm sure he was thrilled not only to be king, but also to explore fun times with his bird of paradise. Must have been a fun way to be interrupted by a sour grape of a monk and bishop. Elgifu, I mean, embarrassment galore for starters. Being caught while getting shagged isn't exactly something you want people to gaze upon. Also, her mother was allegedly in the room that has got to be the weirdest or most awkward performance to have. And to be judged by your mom about your performance? Ugh, that's nasty. So let's do a little deep dive in Ethelgifu. And then I have nothing against Kris Jenner personally. I just want to make sure that we all understand this is just a comparison, in my opinion. I want to compare her to Kris Jenner and how she also influenced her daughter's mistress and wifely career. Ethelgifu is Kris Jenner. And Elgifu is more like Kim, Chloe, or Courtney. Again, mother-daughter dynamic. This screams releasing a sex tape or performance, but in Anglo-Saxon England. Also, good for her for getting it on with a younger man, I guess. She'll play a more significant role in the episode. Oda, or slash Odo, Archbishop of Canterbury. Clearly being the ecclesiastical leader of England, he could not allow the newly minted young king to be involved in a scandal, regardless if it was political, let alone sexual, as this diminishes the prestige of the English monarchy. He is the predecessor of Dunstan as Archbishop of Canterbury. So now that we can derive a sort of idea of how much of a problem Edwig's hormones presented after the coronation and hosting his own more personal party, it had a major effect during the duration of his reign. So now we can derive a sort of an idea of how much of a problem Edwig's hormones presented. Number B, we're going to go back to him. Dunstan's biographer, attributed to B, or the guy from Ramsay, writes, per Mark Morris's book, The Anglo-Saxons, that Edwig was addicted to debauchery. Elgifu also pursued Edwig as her own potential husband, if not outright lover, or as a potential husband for her daughter Elgifu to garner more power for her and her family. Well, it worked. Edwig and Elgifu were sleeping together, and then they eventually married. Furthermore, according to Dunstan's biography, The Life of St. Dunstan, Edwig took it in turns to subject them to his lustful attention. It was between Oda, the Bishop of Canterbury, Dunstan, at the time who was Abbot of Glastonbury, and the Bishop of Lichfield to get Edwig and the two ladies back to the coronation feast. It is recounted that during their sescapades, the royal crown, which is described as brilliant with wonderful gold and silver and variously sparkling jewels, was carelessly thrown or tossed aside. You could say this is an early sign of the incoming reign. While the Anglo-Saxon MILF and daughter made their way back to the festivities, Edwin still wished to not be out of their company. Keep in mind, the crown is still on the floor and Edwig is lying on a bed, couch, or settee from where he and his companions were carousing. Dunstan essentially, and probably did not say, fuck it, get your crown, I'm gonna put it on you, and let's go. This has certainly soured any relationship Dunstan and Edwig had, so much so that shortly after the coronation celebrations, Edwig was convinced by Ethelgifu to banish Dunstan from court, which he did. Or at least Dunstan figured he needed to get out of Dodge before something happened to him. Similarly to Dunstan, other advisors from his father and uncle, Edmund and Edred, reigns were removed from court. Edwig created his own court and put his friends as his advisors. This will be like deja vu later on. Those who don't understand, Edward II. So, like most kings, I say most because some do and some don't, decide to marry. The date is unknown, but sometime in 955, Edwig and Elgifu marry, which was not necessarily favored by the court, let alone the church. After removing Dunstan and other previous supporters, any properties associated with them were confiscated and became property of Edwig and the crown. Also, he did this to his grandmother, Ecgtheow. He took her lands, took away her wealth and status in the Anglo-Saxon court. Because of these actions, this becomes a turning point in Edward's reign. There were, per Anglo-Saxons.net, above 60 charters that have survived from around 956, stating that Edward created and uplifted his supporters, and most of his supporters were kinsmen and also from his wife's family, who also descended from their royal Anglo-Saxon families. So again, he kept it in the family, but at least this time, he didn't create a family wreath. By 957, the winds of Edwig's reign changed. Odo/Oda declared that the marriage of Edwig and Ecgtheow was annulled. The reason? Consanguinity. This becomes a convenient excuse, ending many royal marriages later during the medieval and Renaissance era. The annulment between Edwig and Ecgtheow is very apropos. To briefly explain consanguinity, this means that the wedded couple could not remain married if they were too closely related. For Edwig and Ecgtheow, because they both descended from Ethelred, he reigned from 865 to 871, and therefore could not remain married due to sharing the same ancestor. Their relation probably can be third cousins once removed. To make this digestible, Edwig and Ecgtheow shared great-great-grandparents, so their genetic makeup was about 0.39%, or around 4 generations. In any case, because both Edwig and Ecgtheow shared the great-great-grandparents, they were deemed too related to remain married. Also declaring the marriage invalid, there's less of a chance that Edwig would have had an heir to continue his line. By 957, the marriage was annulled. Edwig, however, never remarried. Continuing in this shitty year for Edwig, his younger brother was gaining support from Odo Dunstan, while still in exile, and Edgar was able to garner support in the north of England, well, at least north of the River Thames, while Edwig somehow maintained favor in the south, again, south of the River Thames, and they used the Thames as a border. According to our secretive friend from the Life of St. Dunstan, or the Life of Dunstan, people who lived north of the River Thames lost or no longer supported Edwig as he deserted them during his reign. Other historians say that the split of the kingdom wasn't attributed to Edward's failure as a king, but rather that the decision was mutually completed by the brothers. After the charters being issued, Edwig continued using the title King of the English, while Edgar used King of the Mercians. And apparently he also used the title King of the Northumbrians and the Britons. Unlike his brother, Edwig was not religiously inclined, nor did he support religious institutions, unlike Edgar. Edgar reinstated Benedictine reform movements, essentially reinstating celibacy and other rules that were inferred from St. Benedict. Following rules included being under the authority of an abbot or an abbess of a Benedictine nunnery. This gets reinstated after Edwig's reign. Speaking of ends, Edwig dies in 959, being unmarried and having no heir. Edwig died on the 1st of October 959, aged about 19. He reigned only for 4 years, and nothing good has been said of him. He neglected and disrespected the clergy and the Catholic Church, disrespected family members, including his own grandmother, Ecgtheow, by, you know, taking over her land, and therefore erasing her access to the funds that she garnered from those lands, along with the taxes. Again, funds. Also, Ecgtheow was a supporter of Dunstan, who, as you will have remembered, is not a fan of Edwig. Edwig is not known for anything good except fucking. Fucking his family over, particularly his grandmother. Fucking over Dunstan and Chun, and having him exiled to Flanders only to return after he died in 959. Fucking over his people so much that they revolted in 957 and creating his brother as king north of the River of Thames. He also fucked his mistress-turned-wife, Ecgtheow, and then he got fucked over by marrying a cousin too closely blood-related to him and lost the power base to go along with it. He just got fucked. Oh well, I guess you can just call him a tosser. Tossed his crown to the ground, he probably tossed his wife's salad, and honestly, I just think he's a tosser. If you know, you know. Well, that's the end of this little tosser. Thank you for joining me on today's episode. I appreciate it. And again, a shout out to all the Rex Factor Discord people. You are all fantastic for your support. Until next time, try not to get into any sex scandals or shenanigans yourself, as I just may end up telling your story. If interested, you may reach out to the show regarding any requests at sexscandalshenaniganspod@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining me. Until next time, bye!